Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome into our beautiful studios here in downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, Frederick Jodry, who is the president of Museum Concerts of Rhode Island. Welcome back, Frederick. Nice to have you with us again.
Glad to be here. It's nice to be on the air once more.
There we go. It's always great to see you and listen to some of the great music that you bring along with you. And you were on about, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, something like
that? Yes, we had an interview in the fall to introduce the beginning of the series of museum concerts. Now, tonight we get to talk about our final two events in February and March.
There you go. So February 3rd, timing is great. February 11th, rather. 3rd was yesterday, so that wouldn't be good
timing. That's not what we want, no.
No, but the 11th is good.
Yes.
And that's going to be a concert where?
That's a concert in Providence at the First Unitarian Church, corner of Benefit and Benevolent. Sunday, February 11th at 3:30, we are bringing together four wonderful New York musicians to play 17th century British music. The title is called A Golden Wire because it's being organized by a harpist. But it's a very unusual and beautiful combination. Harp, soprano, viola da gamba, and lute. Should be
wow.
Quite exotic and beautiful.
Yeah, you don't hear lute very often.
Never enough, in my book.
Okay. Well, that's going to be at the Unitarian Church, or as some people know, the church with the Paul Revere Bell in the top.
That's exactly right.
Yep. There you go. Okay, we got the right location.
That's it.
Okay. Let's do just a minute or two about you. I introduced you as the president of Museum Concerts of Rhode Island, and some people might be saying museum concerts, but they're going to be in a church.
Right. Our series started 55 years ago at the RISD Museum. We wandered about over the years to different historic buildings on the east side. And we found the Unitarian Church has just the right mix of atmosphere, acoustics, very nice performance space, and a parking lot, and a nice spot for a reception.
So free parking.
Free parking. Look at that on the east side. Yeah, it makes life easier.
On the east side of Providence. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that is good. And you personally are also do things other than this, right?
That's right. I'm also one of the co-music directors at Trinity Church in Newport, which has a very lively and wonderful music scene. And for the past, 32 years, I've been directing the choir at Brown.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's a pretty important thing.
You can tell them all the gray hairs in my beard.
No, yes. That's where they come from. That's where I got mine from.
Yeah.
But, well, that's great. So Brown University, all the way down to Newport, and you commute all that distance?
Oh, my word. I get a passport and pack a bag every time I cross the bridge.
We won't talk about crossing the bridge right now.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah.
No, let's go. Different subject completely. But getting back to the music, what's this first piece that you brought for us?
Right. I was drawn to inviting this group primarily through their harpist. There is a young man named Parker Ramsey who made quite a splash about a year ago recording the Goldberg Variations, which are a keyboard piece on harp, and making an exquisite version thereof. So what we're about to hear is the famous aria from the Goldberg Variations played by solo harp.
Thank you.
Is a beautiful instrument, and as you mentioned while we're listening, very expressive.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. This concert is going to have, you don't get to have a harp in a concert very often.
And I believe he's bringing a smallish 17th century style harp,
okay.
Not necessarily one with seven pedals like we're used to.
Okay, yeah. The television version.
Yes.
You don't see them very often because I'm sure... As a student, when you're starting out to learn an instrument, I would have chosen the harmonica.
Yeah, a double bass and harp give you some severe physical challenges, right?
Right.
Get that Subaru station wagon ready for a lot of instrument moving. Yeah.
All right. What do you have for us next?
Yes, appearing on the concert on Sunday, February 11th, is also Nola Richardson, soprano, and Kevin Payne playing lute. The Washington Post said she has astonishing accuracy, crystalline diction, and natural-sounding ease, which is a pretty nice lineup. She'll be singing some works of Purcell and Eccles, but to listen to next, we have a lute song of John Dowland, Can She Excuse My Wrongs? This is Nola Richardson, soprano, and Kevin Payne, lute.
Can she excuse my wrongs with virtue's cloak? Shall I call her good when she proves unkind? Are those clear fires which vanish into smoke? Must I praise the leaves where no fruit I find? No, no, where shadows do for body stand? Thou mayst be abused if thy sight be dim. Cold love is like to words written on the sand, or to bubbles which on the water swim. Wilt thou be thus abused and still, seeing that she were right thee never, if thou canst not o'ercome her with thy love, be thus fruitless ever. Wilt thou be thus abused and still, seeing that she were right thee never, if thou canst not o'ercome her with thy love, be thus fruitless ever. Was I so base that I might not aspire unto those high joys which she holds for me? As they are high, so high is my desire. If she this deny, what can granted be? If she will yield to that which is and is, it is reason's will that love should be just. Happy still by granting this, or cut off delay.
contented. Better a thousand times to die than for to live thus still tormented. Dear, but remember it was I who for the sake did die contented.
Frederick, people that might want to attend this concert can do so by buying tickets online?
Buying tickets online or possible through museumconcerts.org. Tickets are also, of course, available at the door, cash, check, or credit card.
What a deal. Well, don't take a chance on tickets being available at the door. Suppose, 500 people show up.
Well, church seats 800. We're all set.
All right. Yeah. All right, good. Just make sure you're within that first 800.
There we go. Yeah.
Okay. And continuing and finishing off this segment of our program, what do you have now?
Yeah, so the next piece applies to the program at the Unitarian Church in Providence on Sunday, March 3rd. Members of Providence Baroque Orchestra, led by myself and Daniel Lee, will be presenting three of the Brandenburg Concertos, some of Bach's most cheerful and exuberant music.
All right. Well, we're going to listen to this, then we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more of Museum Concerts of Rhode Island. Thank you. Museum Concerts of Rhode Island is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. Frederick Jodry is here. He is the president of the group. I'm Mike Mano, and having a pleasurable time, as usual, listening to some of the beautiful music and the wonderful explanations that Frederick's able to give about this music.
Oh, thank you.
And your enthusiasm is I always wish when I have someone like you on the air that we were televised so people could see how the smile on your face when you're talking about the music.
Well, I have to say Bach is about as good as music gets, and Brandenburg Concertos for me are right at the top of Bach's output.
Mm-hmm.
They're an interesting set of music. We've just heard the final movement of Brandenburg 6, which has quite unusual scoring. Two viola da braccia, violas in the modern sense played up on the chin, two viola da gambas, which are in a really obsolete old instrument, 6 or 7 strings, cello sized, held between the legs. So we have violas on the arms and violas on the legs in this piece, plus harpsichord and double bass. Interestingly, that concerto has no orchestra as such. It's two solo violas and then a little trio, cello, two gambas, plus double bass down below. But that movement 6 is such a cheerful thing. And if you've been watching Volkswagen commercials, I believe it was used fairly recently for Fahrvergnügens, the pleasure of driving. Yeah.
There you go. You never know where it's going to creep in, whether it's going to be on Bugs Bunny or it's going to be on, you know, a commercial.
Yeah. Now, Bach seems to be obsessed with the number 6. When he publishes keyboard music or groups concertos, they're often sets of 6. 6 violin sonatas, 6 partitas, 6 French suites for keyboard. But the 6 Brandenburg concertos are quite an odd set that every single concerto requires a very different group of instruments. Occasionally you need a string orchestra plus a few soloists, and then in some of the concertos you have flute, oboe, recorder, violin, and accompanying cello, bass, harpsichord, but no actual string orchestra. We'll next listen to Brandenburg 5, which is the one I sometimes think about has a big surprise in the middle.
Okay.
So first off, we should know that Brandenburg is a region of Germany, and these pieces were dedicated to the Margrave of Brandenburg. Now, you have to think of Germany at that time, not unlike Rhode Island, a bunch of tiny little fiefdoms. The Duke of Warwick wants to impress the Count of Cranston, each by having the nicer ensemble, the more beautiful gardens,
right?
You know, the more cultured life. So Bach was purchasing a new harpsichord for his employer, Leopold of Kürten. He travels to Berlin to the workshop of Michael Mietke to pick up the new instrument and pay for it. He meets the Margrave of Brandenburg, who expresses interest in hearing Bach play, so Bach does presumably play keyboard for him. And then after he gets home, he sends along 6 concertos as a little set. He cares enough to write out all the score himself, not with help of copyists or his wife or his 21 children who are forever copying music to help out Papa.
Instead of a copy machine.
Yeah, right, and sends them along with the most obsequious letter. The whole world knows your worthy estimation of the science of music, and I, humble poor little me, make a few trifling effects. It's not quite those words, but it's an astonishing dedication.
Mm-hmm.
And these sets of 6 pieces might have been played at the court in Brandenburg or might not have been played. We don't really know. The score is pristine and survived by chance the ravages of time. It was lost for a while. It ends up in a library in 1849. During World War II, it's evacuated to the countryside with the bombing of Berlin. It's, you know, the Bach's manuscripts are a whole other story.
Right, that's a long story.
But presumably when Bach arrives home with the brand new harpsichord he needs to show off to the court at Kürten and his employer Leopold, what an astonishing and wonderful new instrument it is. Now, in Bach's lifetime, the harpsichord was kind of like Victorian children, better seen than heard. In an ensemble, the harpsichord's in the background, playing a few chords and a little flourishes and rarely getting melodic material. It was an accompanying instrument that was nice to keep an ensemble together because it has such a percussive metallic tone. Anybody in a group of 10 or 12 or 20 can easily hear the harpsichord and keep the rhythm steady. But a really interesting thing happens. The concerto is essentially a triple concerto for flute and violin, who start off seeming very important. The harpsichord participates a little bit as a trio. And then towards the two-thirds of the way through the piece, everything starts to thin out and the harpsichord starts to play more and more notes and be more and more active. And then the orchestra gives up and the harpsichord like has a giant guitar solo.
It's almost just like a drum solo.
Like a drum solo. You can't believe how wild the harmony gets, how fast and virtuosic the harpsichord playing gets. And I can only imagine, for an 18th century person, this was astonishing, if not just outright wrong. The harpsichord is not supposed to be taking over the whole musical event, but that's what happens in the middle of this movement. And I have to say, it is a blast to play.
All right. Well, it is a little bit lengthy, so we'll try to put it in at this point, and I'll let you listen to the whole thing, and then we'll take a short break and come back with more.
Thank you.
Museum Concerts of Rhode Island, the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, pleased to be sitting with Frederick Jodry, who is the president and the mover and shaker of Museum Concerts of Rhode Island. You don't get that title on your
mover
paper.
Mover and shaker. No, that's not one of my titles yet, yeah. But you never know.
I like that.
Yeah, we have a wonderful band of volunteers who help make this concert series happen. It's performances of early chamber music on historic instruments is really the reason the series was founded. Mm-hmm. So we've been listening to the Concertus Musicus of Vienna playing these Brandenburg concertos, but we are so excited to jump in ourselves. And we'll be under the leadership of Daniel Lee, violinist, who is both a Presbyterian pastor as well as leads baroque orchestras at Yale, and fantastic violinist. Our next piece, which is an excerpt from Concerto No. 4, features two flutes and violin. The violin has some extraordinary writing, and we're guessing if Bach led No. 5 from the keyboard to play the giant solo, maybe he picked up the violin for No. 4 because he was an ardent and exemplary violinist as well. So on Sunday, March 3rd, we'll be playing Brandenburg Concertos 4, 5, and 6 at First Unitarian Church. Our website is Museum Concerts of Rhode Island.
Museum Concerts RI, right?
That's right.
Yes. Not of Rhode Island.
That's right. And yeah. museumconcertsri.com should do the
dot
trick.
.com. There you go. Check it out, and we'll listen to this piece.
Thank you.
Frederick, once again, I want to thank you for coming in and bringing your music to our audience and reminding everyone that tickets are available on the website on those two dates you want to check out on February 11th at the Unitarian Church in Providence.
Right, for a Golden Wire, 17th century British music for soprano and various exciting early instruments.
And then again on March 3rd.
Then that will be Providence Baroque Orchestra, 3:30 p.m. for both concerts. Plenty of tickets at the door and a bit of free parking in the church lot.
Same building.
Same venue, same wonderful acoustics and very beautiful historic interior from 1806.
There you go. All right. We have one piece of music left. Tell us what this will be.
Yes. So Museum Concerts both brings in historic groups from around the country and occasionally from Europe. But we also sponsor our own Baroque Orchestra, a chamber orchestra of about 15 players. The last piece we'll play today is by Telemann from a very interesting concerto for solo trumpet and solo violin plus strings from our concert this past September, a live recording from the Unitarian Church.
There you go. Playing it live. That's how to do it. Thanks again. I appreciate you coming in, Frederick.
My pleasure. It's always a treat to be here with you and to connect with our radio audience at home.
There you go, using your radio voice. And the rest of you, we'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations.
Thank you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.